Today we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter, the Sunday in the octave of Easter. And in the last few years, it's been called Divine Mercy Sunday. But way back in the old days, it was called Dominica in Albis, or Sunday in White. And that's because this is the day on which the newly baptized, the neophytes, would come in their white garments, as they are today, and they would continue to reflect on the sacrament they received and on their new life as Christians. So we welcome Elizabeth, Damaris, Alexander, and Alejandra Alice, our neophytes, our newly baptized, who are with us here today. And if I said to you today that I just saw the risen Lord Jesus back in the sacristy, I bet I would get one of three responses. Some of you would jump up and go, "We got to see this," and go back into the sacristy. Some of you would say, "Sure, Father George. Been breathing in a little bit too much incense smoke, I can see." And others would say, "I'll believe it when I see it." Very few, I think, would simply just take my word for it and say, "Okay, tell us about your experience of seeing the risen Lord." Almost all of us would want to see some evidence of the presence of our risen Lord Jesus. And some would still just refuse to believe. If I could remove one phrase from our common heritage of language, it would be doubting Thomas. We've heard so much about Thomas and his doubt that we assume that just because Thomas questioned the testimony of his fellow disciples, that he was somehow without faith, or that, you know, his doubt defines him. But Thomas's doubt was just one moment in his journey in faith with the Lord. Thomas is no different than most human beings. We humans are sensing beings. We humans have taste, touch, smell, hearing, those senses that allow us to make our way through the world. They let us experience life and learn and grow through what we take in through our five senses. So Thomas was just being very human in his doubt. He wanted sensory evidence that, yes, Jesus is alive and he had appeared to the disciples. And remember another thing, our Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He came to us as a real human in a real human body, and he revealed his glory in real concrete actions that could be seen and heard and touched and felt. St. John's Gospel, from where we got today's Gospel, is all about people seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. They see his miracles, they hear his words, they feel his healing touch, and through these sense experiences, they come to believe. Some of them, in spite of their sense experience, refuse to believe. Thomas sees and touches the risen Lord, puts his hands in the wounds of our Lord, and he's thunderstruck, and he cries out the profession of faith that is still ours to this day: "My Lord and my God." He sees the risen Lord. And Jesus responds to him, "You know, you've come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." This saying of Jesus marks a major shift in the faith of the disciples of Jesus. Before, when Jesus was on earth doing his miracles, seeing and believing was good and it was right. But now that Jesus is going to ascend to the Father, not seeing and still believing is infinitely better. And it's infinitely better because faith takes us beyond the limited world of our sense experience. It takes us beyond what is right in front of us at any given moment. It takes us beyond the need for evidence and scientific proof. It takes us into the life of the Spirit. And faith is how we know that our risen Lord Jesus is alive and present to us. We don't see him in person, but we know that he's with us. And while faith opens us up into this world of the spirit, of our, you know, our heavenly destiny, and while the things of faith can't always be seen or reduced to sensory experience or scientific evidence, we humans remain embodied sensory beings. Jesus may not be physically present to us, to our senses, but Jesus is sacramentally present to us. And we experience that presence primarily in physical, sensory ways, through material signs that we perceive with our senses. That's why we have all this stuff around us, and why we do the things that we do, because we perceive these things and we learn about the presence of our Lord Jesus. Our second reading today from the second chapter of the book of Acts gives us a model of how the first Christians experienced that real sacramental presence of our risen Lord Jesus. And that model looks a lot like the church that we have today. Acts shows us what we are today, a body of persons, a communal body of persons, gathered together to hear the teachings of the apostles, what we just heard, and to lift up our hearts in prayer and praises to God, which we have done throughout this Mass and will continue to do, and to break bread, to share in the Holy Eucharist. That was what the earliest Christians did. That's what we do today, and that's how we experience the presence of our risen Lord Jesus. The church is the body of Christ, the primary sacramental presence of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And who we are together, and what we say and do in this sacred liturgy of the Mass, and how we go out into the world in service to others, these are the physical, sensory signs of the spiritual unseen presence of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, it's far too easy a lot of the time for a lot of us to miss or to forget the awesome reality of what goes on in the Holy Mass. It's far too common for people out in the world to see Christians not as living signs of the wonderful presence of Christ in the world, but as just part of the great herd of people out there. The world is full of Thomases. Our church is full of Thomases. People want to see some sign of God. They want to touch and feel and experience God's presence. And that's what we do right here. It all begins here. Through faith, we know that Christ is present and that Christ is hard at work in his church, in what we do together here and in you and in me. You know, when we get together on Sunday morning and we see all these people gathered around us, it just looks like a room full of people. And there's people that you know and love. There's people maybe you've never seen. There's people whom you might not particularly care for. But that is the body of Christ. You are the risen Lord Jesus made present. And when the lectors and myself get up here and proclaim the word, that's just people up here reading words off a page. But what it really is our Lord Jesus speaking to us today through the words of Scripture. When we come to the altar and bring our bread and wine, and the priest says the words of consecration, what we see is people doing things with material objects. But what's really going on is our Lord Jesus is lifting up his sacrifice to the Father. He's lifting us up to the Father. And then when we receive him in Holy Communion, we have that little piece of bread and that little sip of wine. But what's really going on there is we are receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The risen Lord Jesus is right here, right now. And so we gather in faith at this altar table, and we say, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. And in faith, we go out to all the Thomases in our lives and in the world, all those people who are looking for a sign, and we proclaim to them, we have seen the Lord. There's an old piece of wisdom that says, you might be the only Bible that someone ever sees or hears. We could also see, you might be the only Jesus that someone else sees or hears. And if our inner lives are filled with Jesus, if we become more aware of the awesome mystery that we encounter at every Holy Mass, and if that mystery of the presence of our risen Lord Jesus becomes the center of our lives and takes hold of us, then we become the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ for others. And when they see the love and the mercy and the grace of Christ shining through us, they can say with us and with Thomas, my Lord and my God.